Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I in the church observe the season of Advent to help one another get things back into focus. We recognize that December is a terrible rat race. People get easily irritated. Stores and shopping centers are crowded, and snow and ice doesn't help tempers very much. There are so many things to do if we are going to celebrate Christmas, and so little time in which to do it all. I once had a parishioner who was, if incorrect theologically, at least bluntly honest. He said, "Pastor, I have so many things to do, I can't come to church in December." And around here, things really aren't much better, are they? We who stand on the opposite end of the lecture platform realize that if we don't get it done in these 3 weeks, we're going to forget it during the holidays anyway. And you probably have concluded that we're trying to teach the entire course in these 3 weeks, as recent tests and examinations might attest. And so you and I need something in order to help us get everything back into focus, to realize why we observe Advent at all, and to help us get our hearts and our spirits ready to celebrate the birthday of our Lord. And in order to do that, we have been centering our attention on the great old antiphon for Advent. Today we bring it to a conclusion. And it is perhaps well for us to hear them all at once, to see the full sweep and the majesty of these great and ancient words. O wisdom, proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, ruling over the universe and to the ends of the earth with tenderness and power, come and teach us the way of wisdom. O Adonai, head of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Mount Sinai, come open-armed to redeem us. O branch of Jesse, arising as a sign among the nations, before whom kings will keep silent and to whom the nations will call for help, make haste to deliver us and delay no longer. O key of David, scepter of the house of Israel, you open that which no man can close, you close that which no man can open. Come and deliver from captivity the prisoner lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. O morning star, splendor of eternal life and sun of righteousness, come and enlighten those who are living in darkness and in the shadow of death. O King of nations, you answer their longing. O cornerstone, you reconcile nations opposed. Come and save us whom you have created from death. O Emmanuel, our King and Lawgiver, hope and Savior of all nations, come and save us, O Lord our God. As we listen to those again, we should have noted that there are at least 3 major themes that run from beginning to end. The first is an unvarnished and unglossed view of people. Over and over, come, save, deliver, we are in darkness, we are in prison, we are in captivity. There is no glossing over that we, because of sin, are in extremis. As we have been reminded again and again from this pulpit in the last 7 days, that sin is real and pernicious and damning. And there is no attempt to gloss over that maybe we have just slipped a little bit away from God's rather exalted standards anyway, and surely we ought to be glad with whatever we bring, and everything gets pushed aside, and you're in a dungeon, you're in darkness, you're in captivity, you're in death. That's key number one. But key number two, the great ode, the great addresses to the Son of God, underscore that God came to rescue people in darkness and captivity and in death. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the fullness of his time, God did send his only Son. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He is one of us, who knows us, who has been in the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin, who went our way to die our death. He is Emmanuel. He is on our side. He is the valiant one who fights for us and whose battle is victorious. He routs sin and death and hell and proclaims victory and life for his people. That's scene number two. And scene number three is the confidence of God's people who rely on the one who came and believe he will come again, that he most assuredly will save. They're not just pious wishes, like so much of the drivel that comes through in things that are erroneously called Christmas cards. But maybe somehow somebody will make your day brighter. Well, that's not Christian confidence, and it isn't much hope either. But these antiphons breathe the confident spirit of solid hope. Come, teach us the way of wisdom. Come, open arms to redeem us. Make haste to deliver us. Delay no longer. Come and deliver the prisoner lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. Come and enlighten those who are in darkness and the shadow of death. Come and save those whom you created from dust. Hope and Savior of all nations, come and save us, O Lord, our God. And to each of these antiphons, we have been responding with the confidence and joy of the redeemed. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.